Blog Talk Radio.
Glowing red in a bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet were that easy. Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding the person we are today. Now, excuse me. Welcome to Double Helix, where we examine the X's and the Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is the poetry that we are made of. This is Double Helix on Late Night Poets Blog Talk Radio. We are part of allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. You can follow along in the chat, talk to us, and make comments, and read the poems with us. I am Athasiana, and with me I have Daniel Deschino. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Athasiana, how are you? I'm so happy you're alive. That makes me very happy. I'm happy you're like every day, but I'm really happy you're feeling better and alive. The world is a good place. Is a good place with you in it, so I'm very happy. Yeah, you feeling okay?
Yeah, you know, still a little scratchy, but I can breathe, which is a lot better than last week. I had a little pneumonia as a complication of my COVID, but you know, air is becoming a thing again.
Excellent.
And I managed to stay awake all day today without a nap, which it doesn't sound like much of an accomplishment, but it is right now.
Yeah, I don't normally can't do that, so that's pretty good, you know. And breathing is important. You should breathe at least a few times a day every day. It's an important thing to do.
I aim for it. I aspire to breathe regularly.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, I'm very excited. I was really looking forward to the show, and and being with you tonight. So yeah, we're we got lots of fun things tonight. I think we have a contest that you put up, and then if we have time, I have an older contest of mine. It's been a few weeks or so, but I got everybody's permission for one that we were going to do before that we never got to. So we have lots of fun things tonight. And I'm pretty sure we have Jenny Hunt on the board, which I'm excited about. And we might have Harco, Naomi, and Phil were there earlier. I'm not sure if they're still on the board, but I'm pretty sure Jenny is. So we are ready to party, I think.
Nice. I think Phil is lurking because usually I have to label you in the studio, and it already had your name. So somebody was telling me who you were.
Okay, there you go.
In there.
yes, there's always somebody watching, I think. it's usually Phil. That's okay. She's not really big brother, she'd be big sister, but she can be my big sister anytime. I love Phil.
So our contest, do you want to post?
Yep, go ahead. Tell us all about it.
So there were two prompts, and they were quotes. We do not learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on experience. That was said by John Dewey. And prompt two, failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of success. And that was Arianna Huffington. So those were the inspiration. It's about learning and how that shapes us.
Very cool, very cool. All right, so let's get started. So speaking of Jenny Hunt, our very first one is actually by Jenny. And let me see, let me post it on the board. Oh, you already posted it. You're way ahead of me. I'm sorry.
I got it, can you read it, please? Oh,
I can't
sorry,
read
what?
It. We got to get back in our rhythm. That's all we got to get. It's been a little bit, so we just got to kind of get back in the groove, and we're going to be flying high like no time. I would be very honored to read it. So this is called High School Dropout to College Graduate. Running away, she cheated failure, or so she thought. No other option but to hide the truth. Afraid of the consequences, she ran from it all. Excuse me, not bothering to practice, for she was already comfortable in her mediocre achievements. She went a different path than was planned. Now a high school dropout, a single mother of three, she dwells on her past regrets, and she sees the joy in her kids after accomplishing anything of any gander. Officially motivated, she got up off her butt and gave her GPA the old college try. With a new support system, a newfound confidence, and a reason to succeed, she reached for the stars as high as she could. Hanging up her GPA on the office wall, attending a university alongside her oldest daughter, where they will graduate together, cheering each on, helping each other every step of the way. End poem. So she said she kind of used both for inspiration, and I could see that. Very, very interesting. Great job, Jenny. What did you think, Faziana?
I liked it. I think it's inspirational. The idea of, seeing the joy of accomplishment in your kids. As you're happy about their accomplishments, but you also see that they are, and feeling motivated to do things yourself. It's funny how people can see a role model within someone who they were also a role model for. It's interesting and good that it can work in both directions to feel motivated by the kids. I think this is really nice. Story and the idea of them, doing it together, of experiencing the challenges and the fun of doing university together is really exciting. The idea of the mother and daughter doing that. I'm kind of picturing like a Gilmore Girls kind of bond between them. It seems like single moms tend to like really bond with the kids even more than a two partner parent. This is really a happy kind of feeling. It's uplifting to read about the success. How did you feel about it, Dan?
I think so as well, too. I can even just tell from the title it was going to be inspirational. You know, and I know a lot of people like this, too. A lot of people have different problems for whatever reason. You know, I remember I was in college. I was in a band, and the bass player, his girlfriend got pregnant, so he dropped. He did the right thing. He dropped out and helped raise the kids. But he went on and got his college degree somewhere else, and he's got a successful life and all that, and moved on. I always hear about a lot of people who get the GPAs or who couldn't finish school, but then went on still to do. Whatever they could in the future. A funny thing, I think Jenny and I must have been on the same wavelength a little bit, because I actually wrote for this one as well, too, for these prompts. And I was kind of thinking almost like a story. I don't know if this is a self-story for Jenny, but I was kind of getting almost like speech-like, like story-like. I can't remember the guy's name. I was actually inspired when I wrote by – So somebody that you really like, who's a speaker, he does spoken word, and I can't remember his name. You had a contest about him before, but that's who I was inspired by. And I could see this here is almost like the story form, which I really love. And then at the end, hanging her GP up on the office wall, attending university alongside her oldest daughter, they cheered each other on. It really honestly is never too late. Myself being a little bit older now, I just published a book for the first time a year ago, right? I'm still, putting out albums for music. I'm still accomplishing things. I'm moving up higher in my job than I ever did. I'm actually I've always been living with other people. I'm a homeowner for the first time. Like this last like 2 or 3 years, I've done things I never did before in my life that honestly I didn't know if I would ever do. So it's never too late for anything, and I think that's what I really got out of it. Sorry, I didn't mean to make the whole comment about myself, but that's what I got out of it. I mean, it related to me a lot. So very beautiful job, Jenny. Jenny said when we were going to read it, she said the word groovy, which is definitely one of my favorite words. So right on, Jenny, with that one. And she said she was inspired by her friend, so fantastic. You had a friend that did that. That's fantastic. Awesome. Great way to start off the show. Thank you, Jenny, for being the opening act. And what are we going to do now?
I have one called Paper Nests by Ben Hart. Small suffering. Caustic tongues folding out of smoke. An origami phoenix ascending from tobacco blossom nests in burning bronchi trees. Small tributes of visual song for a loving God that never spoke and doesn't take attendance, ask our Sunday best, or want us on our knees. He just wants us to fail as many times as we're able, as many times as we dare brave defeat. Either way, it's a beautiful life. But at the Poets Round Table, only suffering buys you a seat. Small elations. The parting of your lips, a mystery awaits me every time. The threat of waking I accept, because even for a moment of you calling yourself mine, I'd gladly lay down my life. The imprint of you dancing in place on that kitchen cabinet stage. I tattooed on my eyes, and I was glad to go blind. I was glad to go blind. That night, you read to me, Tea Slumber Party, as though I was Michael's muse, and I felt your voice touch me gently, and this was it. It had to be the most beautiful of blues. The arrow that struck the stigma sweet spot, which touched last your loving hands before bereaving me of breath and the strength to stand. And in my bleeding, I will bask. In my bleeding, I will bask. About Eve, this girl down the well, who no one remembers that she ever fell. I would paint her enough for an entire gallery. Because somehow she seems to experience everything. I try not to dream of blue halo angels and poet's reprieve, so that one day even we may believe we're not really dying. We have to talk about Eve. She came home happy today and got up out of that place. Oh, hopeful tides rising. End poem.
Oh, Ephesiana, you read so much better than me. Wow, that was amazing. I honestly almost cried a little bit when you were reading that. That was so beautiful. Great job with that. So I really like this. I'm starting to get Ben's like style. You know, he usually writes fairly epic poems, which is great. You read mine. You know, sometimes I read a lot of long ones too. So I like them, and he does sections a lot too, which I really like. And there was a couple of things here. I'm going to talk about the first and the third section. So, small sufferings. Small tributes for a loving God that never spoke and doesn't take attendance. Ask our Sunday best or want us on our knees. He just wants us to fail as many times as we're able, as many times as we dare. Brave defeat. Either way, it's a beautiful life. It's just so interesting. It is the way that I, you know, think about religion. I've always, you know, said that, you know, whatever you are religious, I'm not very religious. I study all religions, but I'm not going to church all the time and that type of thing. I don't like, you know, practice one, but, you know, I certainly study them all. And I've always said, you know, I watch these people who just kind of do whatever, and then they freak out because it's Good Friday. I can't eat fish. I mean, I can't eat meat. What am I doing? I'm like, you know, that does not make up for 364 days of sin because you didn't eat meat on Good Friday. Like, it's not, you know, going to church is great to pray with people and get in there and celebrate your religion and be with other people and study it, right? But, you know, you're not going to get up to see St. Peter and he's going to say, well, you didn't go to church on these Sundays. You know, he just wants us to, you know, that whole idea of learning, you know, and being human. And then Ben had to add at the end about the Poets Roundtable, you know, only suffering buys you a seat. and that is really interesting. You know, it's, I always think about that, you know, how do you express, you know, if you really want to express yourself, you know, how do you channel that? How does, I always wonder that, how the really, you know, famous, rich, successful, have these great lives, these musicians and artists, you know, how are they channeling that passion? Is it an act, or are they really channeling something that happened in the past? You can hear it sometimes. Like when I listen to like Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, very happy music to me. They've had such great, you know, lives their whole lives. I've certainly had tragedies like everybody, but then you look at other people who you know, suffering, and you can kind of hear it in them. So that, you know, that emotion that any artist comes out on, I think is really that last line is great. And what was it on the end here? Oh, this was an amazing line. So the girl down the well, I'm sure he's talking about actually Eve, but I like the one who no one remembers that she ever fell. You picture this lonely person kind of suffering. You know, I almost was really picturing somebody down a well. And then because somehow she seems to experience everything. I really love that, how sometimes it's that moment when you are helpless, you know, that moment when you're suffering or when you might be towards the end and you're stuck somewhere and you can't do anything. So you're kind of, even those times when you're kind of just stuck with your own thoughts and you can't go anywhere and everything's quiet, that's when you really start experiencing things as opposed to getting just pummeled with life. So I really thought that was a great line there. So yeah, I could go on and on, but I love Ephesiana's voice and I would like to hear it right about now.
I don't know. I'm a little like raspy right now. That's okay. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I loved reading it. It just, it had such a nice flow to it, and it had so much depth. I agree about the stuff that you were saying and the way that he writes it for the religion purposes of, you know, it's not about the Sunday best being just perfect when you're in church and then otherwise not necessarily being that way. It's the idea of just being the best that you can be all the time and that failing is okay. I really liked the line, as many times as we dare brave defeat. That's the thing, you have to be willing to risk that and not so cocky that you think you're always going to win. You know that it's a possibility of losing, and you do it anyway. And that thing about the only suffering buys you a seat, you know, there's the whole starving artist kind of feel, but not just the poverty of it, but, like, usually really great art comes from suffering, it seems. I mean, maybe it's just my own personal taste, but I tend to love sad songs and serious poems about, you know, tragedies and things like that. And people who've been through a lot tend to be really deep in their writing and their art in general. And you can tell when something's authentic, when they've really gone through it. Like, there's this band that I really love. They're not super popular, Blue October. And the lead singer, Justin, is schizophrenic or has schizophrenia. And he also was an addict. I think he's clean now. I'm not totally sure. It's been a while since I've looked at that. But he tells such stories in their songs. And you can tell in the way that his voice wavers that it's like so much emotion in that. I just love it. I really found this powerful in the way that Ben wrote it because of the repeated lines every once in a while. And in my bleeding, I will bask. In my bleeding, I will bask. Just repeating that line really struck me as I was reading it out loud. And I didn't pre-read this, so I kind of experienced it as I read it, and something about repeating those lines just really let it sink in and just felt so powerful. And, you know, it's not everywhere. It's not every stanza. It's not overkill of repeating. It's just every once in a while there's that part that really hits you. And he does that so well at pointing out certain aspects of it. You know, I could go on and on about this poem because I just love it. But I also want to note that he did the art. He's an artist, and there's a picture attached to it. And I think it's digital art. I think that he draws it on the computer. And he has been including art with a lot of his poems, and I appreciate that extra dimension.
Yeah, no, he's a great artist, too, and he absolutely does that. I agree with everything you said. I thought that was great. And, yes, we could probably discuss this for the rest of the show, but probably move on and do other things, I'm guessing.
I think so. We have one by A. Shakanovsky. Would you read that one, please, Dan?
Of course I would. this is called Failure is Part of Success. Those who truly believe in what they want to achieve, should surely all take heed of what it takes to succeed. Success is the precious prize for those who realize that this is the compensation for hard work and dedication. They should fail at any, and should they fail at any stage, they start again and reengage and keep on trying until they win. Achievers simply don't give in. But those who lack true grit, who just give up and quit, have no one else to blame for losing in life's game. End poem. That was a lot of fun to read. How about listening to it, Faziana? What did you get out of that?
I really enjoyed listening to it. I think that you read it at just the right cadence. And you can tell that that was both talent of A. Shakanovsky in the way that he wrote it, but also in the way that you read it. It just, I think you were just right to read this. You had the good rhythm to it, that you picked up on his meter very nicely. He has a nice rhyme to this. Believe, chief, heed, succeed, compensation, dedication. I particularly like those words. They're a little bit more multifaceted in their rhyme. And this really captures the prompt of the importance of persevering. Start again and re-engage. And the line, achievers simply don't give in. It's a fact. This is a very straightforward piece, and I think that style works for the subject matter because it's just, kind of matter of fact that failure is a part of success. You can't just jump to being amazing at everything. Although I do have this one friend, Skylar, who drives me insane because everything that he does it so perfectly. It drives me crazy. He'll pick up a new hobby and, like, immediately be the best one at it. And I'm just like, does anything challenge you? Like, I feel like that would actually get boring. Like, he's amazing at so many things, but it comes so easily to him. I think it would drive me crazy. Just watching him frustrates me because I'm like, how did you, like, I could work on it for months and months and months, and then he'll see me doing it, and he's like, oh, I see how it is, and just, like, pick up whatever it is, it's like, anything. He's so talented, and I'm just, wow. But very rarely is that the case. Most people have to fail and fail and fail, and then if you quit, it is your own fault. There are circumstances where it's, some people have everything kind of handed all the ingredients to make something, and so they can make it easier than those of us who have to scavenge and find all of those things to put in it. But the attitude of keep going once you mess it up, that's a choice in most cases. So I think that this really worked nicely. How did you feel about it, Dan?
Yeah, exactly as you. It is the rhyming was great. I'm always a fan of rhyming. That to me is musical. That's almost lyrical. That's what I felt like. This could be a song. Just the way it was written. So it's great. And yeah, it's a simple concept, but it's an important concept, and it's one that he did a different take that I haven't seen before. A different way to explain that, and it was beautifully done. I agree. The message is great here. You just don't give up. There's the famous Edison where somebody, a reporter asked him, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times at making the light bulb? He's like, I didn't fail. He said, it took me 1,000 tries. You just keep going. That's just the famous one, or one of the famous ones of not giving up. And it is true. I can tell you, as a drummer, I can tell you obscure drum ones. So, or even there's so many of them. So, I don't know if you got Everybody Falls to the Grateful Dead, but Mickey Hart and the Grateful Dead was not he's a famous drummer. He's not talented, coordinated. He said that he would just sit and practice forever, and finally be able to do it. And that's what took a long time. Anybody who follows sports, Tom Brady, considered the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not a great athlete. He's not a good runner. He's just not a good athlete. He's just relentless. He just keeps going and keeps practicing. There's so many stories about that in sports and music and different things. And it's really that, like you said, success is a precious prize for those who realize that this is the compensation for hard work and dedication. There's the I don't know if AZ, have you ever heard of the 10,000 hour theory? Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah, so the 10,000-hour theory, right? Like, in order to be an expert at something, you have to put in 10,000 hours of doing it. which is obviously a theory, but I think it's fairly true. Like you need to do it for that long before you can actually you know, you're or for something like that. That's a pretty good theory. So there you go. And it's, you know, those who lack true grit, who would just give up and quit, no one else to blame but yourself, right? You didn't want it. That's why you don't have it. You know, keep going. I always, you know, said, look, I'm going to, if I'm going to fail at something, at least I'm going to look back and say, you know what, I tried as hard as I could. I mean, you know, that, you know, I tried as hard, I didn't fail, but at least I tried and I did the best I can so I can sleep good at night. You know, that's, it's all about if I can sleep at night. That's my whole motivation for anything. Can I sleep? Excellent poem, my friend. Great, great job. And we're going to go somewhere else. I'm guessing this is others. Where are we? I need to refresh, I think. I'm behind a little bit. Paul Thomas, there you go. That one is for that one's for you.
It is. Tasks at Hand by Paul Thomas One. If we believe in ourselves and our abilities, failure not in vocabulary. The word needs to be stricken from the English dictionary. Its mere utterance defeats and all efforts to succeed. Rather than failure, setback. Instead of not achieving goals, the levels accomplished objective steps within. Silence the voice residing between heart and mind. It denies even self-love while giving lowly doubts passports to rejection. Listen not to doubters, including the voice within, envious of motivation and efforts seeking fulfillment. Hundreds of practice hours needed for some professions. But be not dismayed or discouraged when only one denies results. Come back tomorrow, wiser, stronger, refreshed. End poem.
Awesome job, Afaziana. And I want to welcome Akyla J. to the board. She's newer to the boards, I think, so thanks for coming on. She said, wow, she loved this poem for A. Shackelsky before. So, sorry, Akyla, I just got to you, but thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight with all this motivation. Like, after the show, I'm going to be like, I'm going to go accomplish something now. I'm going to have to calm myself down after looking at all this. So this is another really great motivational, and where was the part there? Oh, yeah, listen not to doubters, including the voice within. How powerful is that line? Envious of motivation and efforts seeking fulfillment. I really like listen not to doubters. It's, you know, again, there's so many stories of people that you know, do something and they're laughed at, right? And then all of a sudden they're not laughed at anymore, right? Everybody realizes that they were, you know, they were right. I mean, there's so many stories of that, and I really think that's the key. Is you know, don't listen to other people. Know what you want to do, and you know, I mean, you do want to listen to sometimes. Sometimes people are correct, but you know, if you know you can do it, if it's something you want to do and you believe in it, just do that. Because I like how the doubters are first and then the voice within afterwards, because a lot of times it's the doubters that that change your inner voice, right? So it's you know, you might be excited about it, but then other people are, you know, telling you can't do it or talking you out of it or saying whatever you're doing is stupid. And that all of a sudden brings out your doubting voice in yourself, right? I don't know if I can do this. And yeah, Akyla changed her name to Aisha J. I know that's Aisha. Aisha works for me. She's on here. So, yeah, I knew that was you, Aisha. I really appreciate you coming on. So yeah, this is, you know, really just great motivation. But I always love the line of listen not to doubters. Just, you know, even though I was born in 67, so not really, I can still call myself a 60s child. So I'm all about the, you know, doing your own thing and not necessarily listening to the man. So rock on, Paul. Great, great job. That was fun. How about you, Afaziana? I know you you believe in free speech and doing what you want and doing what you believe in.
I do, for sure. I think this is great. I like that it's talking about, you know, framing the way that you word things. I mean, I wouldn't strike any word from the English dictionary because I don't ban things, but I love the idea of choosing to use setback instead of failure, because a setback shows that it's a temporary failure, that it's not really a failure at all. It's just there's the word back within it. You take a step back, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the wrong direction. Sometimes you need to, you know, adjust your perspective and, you know, recalculate. Think of that little GPS telling you, like, oh, wait a minute, you went too far this way. Let's just turn a little bit, and then you'll be back on track. I really, really seriously loved the part where it says, while giving lowly doubts passports to rejection. I just love the idea of, like, you're handing out little mini passports to those doubts, letting them travel within you, letting them, you know, set up camp in your brain, in your heart, wherever. You need to stop doing that. Stop handing out those passports. Stop giving doubts a ticket, that access to yourself. You gotta get rid of those, because they do, you know, sit in the back of your mind. And when you think that you've had a lot of failures, and when people have framed it in that way, then you do have that little voice that's saying, well, you're not going to be able to do this. Why even try? And we just need to stop letting that voice, you know, drown you out. So I just love the way that was worded with the little passports. It was cute and meaningful. Cute sounds dismissive. I don't mean it as a, like, it's a compliment the way that I'm saying it. I also like that there's, like, some minor alliteration in here, like, be not dismayed or discouraged. There's the dis sound in both of those. When only one denies results, come back tomorrow. Don't give up. This just has such an uplifting feeling to it. I think it really captured the spirit of the prompt. Very well done, Paul Thomas.
I know you're a fan of alliteration. Someday I'm going to write a complete alliteration poem just for you.
It's going to be too much, though. Don't go crazy with it. I've had people do that before. Because they're like, you like alliteration, right? And then, like, every single word in the poem starts with the same letter. I'm like, whoa, that's a bit much.
Yes, that can be. Exactly. right, yeah, exactly. It's too forced. I get you. And the ending is great. Come back tomorrow, wiser, stronger, refreshed, right? That's just really it. You know, I failed today, okay? I'm going to get up tomorrow, and I'll try again, and I'll fix it. So awesome job. All right. I think we are popping back and forth here, so I'm assuming it is my turn.
It is.
All right. I can't lose place because it's only you and I, so I can't forget whose turn it is, so I'm really trying not to do that. So this is by Vakachuk, one of my favorite names on here. This is called Log Jammed. Failure is not the opposite of success. It is part of the success. Ever notice how often success at any given endeavor is dependent on our desire to succeed at it? Example, I cannot whistle worth a lick. Never could. I really wanted to whistle. I just did not want it enough to put in the time to learn, so I am officially a whistling dud. However, at age 7, I was a genius at falling off a log. It did not matter how wide or narrow a log, thud accompanied my startled yelp, or vice versa, the final consequence of my efforts. My German stubbornness could not tolerate such clumsiness. I double-knotted my shoelaces, found the widest log ever, plastered my fiercest, determined, damned if I'm going down in defeat, look upon my face, yelled Geronimo 3 times for good luck, extended my arms for balance, ever so slowly traversed all 6 feet, The War Whoops, Celebrating Unconditional Success or Marvelous. End poem. Just to say, I really had to try not to laugh while I was reading this because it was really funny. So, great job. Faziana, I can hear your chuckles, I think.
You can. I really enjoyed imagining the going across that log and the fact that, like, Geronimo is yelled three times for good luck. Not just once, but you have to say it multiple times. And just that fierceness, but, like, plastered my fiercest determined. Like, not just, you know, was determined or was fierce, but, like, to plaster that in just adds an extra little oomph. I like that word choice there. Traversed all 6 feet. I like that better than, like, walked the feet because the traverse makes it sound more like travel, like an adventure. I think it's a really great word choice right there. Are you an elephant, Dan?
No, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That was my moving my chair. I apologize. I'm so like out of the rhythm of this. I got to get back in there. I'm trying to do my. I feel like one sometimes after I've eaten as much as I've eaten, but no, I'm not an elephant. So thank you.
I was more thinking like the noise with the trunk, but yeah. It's actually a really good imitation of it. I can never do that properly. At story time, I do animal noises, and I just can't do an elephant, right? and I get, like, a whistle or something. This is wonderful. I has this, imagery isn't quite what I'm looking for because it's, like, audio imagery, the yelp and the just the imagining of the – the way it would sound on that log falling off of it. And I really like war whoops. That celebration that comes after, like, surviving something that's kind of scary and celebrating unconditional success. I can totally get that. And walking across logs is super tricky. There's this place that I really like to hike where every once in a while it's kind of flooded out. So you can't take the path. You got to go across the logs. And I usually would probably turn around, except my husband is like freaking monkey, and he'll just like jump from thing to thing. And then he's like, come on, like from the other side. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I respect the determination to, after falling off multiple times, finding the right one and doing it. And I think that's part of it. Like, it's not just that he gets better at walking across a log. It's that he makes smarter choices. He looks for the widest one. He makes sure that his shoes are prepared. And I think that really works with the quote about how, you know, you're learning in these failures. When it goes wrong, you got to figure out why it went wrong. It's not just, I'll try again and try again and try again. I'm going to get a little bit better each time that I try again because I'm going to pay attention to why it didn't work. So I think this shows that it's not just about perseverance. It's about willingness to learn as you persevere.
I agree. I agree 100%. And yeah, I think you covered all that beautifully. And I really like the, you know, it was funny. I just thought it was great. It was the first time reading it, and I just thought it was so fun to read. It really gave a entertaining view on it, right? It wasn't just kind of preachy. It was telling this fun, entertaining story, but also it was a story of triumph. And I really like the, example, I cannot whistle worth a lick. I never could. I really wanted to. I just didn't want it enough. I didn't put in the time to learn. So I'm a whistling dud, which is a very interesting phrase. I thought that was a fun phrase. But, you know, how many things do you want to do, right? There's so many things I would love to be an expert at. I just, you know, I must not want it that much because I don't put the time to do it. There's other things, you know, come to play instead. You know, I play, you know, I've always talked about playing drums before. When I was in college, I played some keyboards and stuff. I've always wanted to play guitar as well, too. And I own guitars. I've picked up guitars multiple times. I just don't continue to do it. So I really can't play, right? I really want to play it. I don't put the time in because I really don't want to learn that much. You know, it's just, but I thought that was really interesting as well, too. So that was really fun. Great, great poem. I don't know who is still on the board. We are, we're quiet there, but I'm assuming that Aisha and Jenny are still there. If you are, thank you guys for staying with us, and whoever else is listening, we appreciate everybody. All right, we're moving on with life, I think.
Yes, our next one is by Stephen T. Wellman. It's called Actions. Experience engraved on the unseen. Invisible tattoos burn rotting flesh. Shrapnel stings as parts of us decay daily. We sugarcoat the blight and play pretend. Horror flicks trigger melancholic mindsets. Foolishly, we play the psychodrama over and over, as if a heartbeat was set to repeat, reluctantly swallowing honey's bitter poison. Life is a Van Gogh vernacular, a poetic palette of blue and gray. Our actions paint the landscape. We can shine through our flaws or sit and sulk in the darkness of the soul. End poem.
Awesome job. And I love Stephen Wellman. He's a great, great poet. So I'm going to harp on the Life's of Van Gogh vernacular for a little bit because I think he's an example. Now, I'm certainly not a Van Gogh expert, but from what I know about him, he was a failure in life. People would make fun of his paintings. They thought he was a joke. So he was never really that successful. You know, it's the same thing with like Beethoven and Mozart. If you study them, Mozart was appreciated in his time, and he did good, but he was never really this huge success. If you ever watch the movie Amadeus, that's a lot of that is true to life. He did a lot of things. People admired him, but he was very poor. He didn't really get that great. You know, he still had a lot of critics, whereas Beethoven was like a celebrity in his time. He was traveling around, and he enjoyed his success. But Van Gogh is kind of like that. Again, I might be totally wrong, anybody on the board or Faziana, if you know better than me, but I think he was a failure. And I know Stephen wasn't necessarily talking about that part of it, but I like the Van Gogh part about that because now he's considered, you know, one of, if not the greatest artist of all time. Like, and he thought himself, you know, he never enjoyed that. He never got to see that, but he kept painting. And maybe, like you talked about earlier, right, maybe that's why he was so good, is that starving artist, that, you know, poor person that wasn't really recognized, he could take all of his depression and his emotions and he could put it into that. And he, even though people were making fun of his style, he kept doing it. He kept painting that way and then is now, you know, again, is now recognized as one of the greatest ever. So actions, right? It's your actions that you're doing. So awesome, awesome job, Stephen Wellman. You're a great poet. We always appreciate you. And I always appreciate Faziana, who's going to speak now.
I also appreciate Stephen Wellman's poetry. I think that he's amazing. He enters a lot of our contests, and it's never disappointing. And he's good at that alliteration that I like, where he does it subtly. It's just like the two words together. Shrapnel stings as parts of us decay daily. You know, it's just enough of the right sounds in there to make it it's just more punchy. It gets its message in there extra strong with his word choices. I also just like the idea of invisible tattoos because, I mean, a tattoo is generally, like, basically a visual thing, except it's something that marks you forever. So an invisible tattoo is something that is, it marks you, but just not in a way that people can see. It marks you in a way that you know. and to have it burn rotting flesh is like to feel like that maybe a part of you has died because you haven't succeeded in something that really mattered to you, and you feel marked by that failure. And the shrapnel there is the little bits of what could have been, and it stings because it's the pieces that that remain of what you weren't able to put together. I found it interesting swallowing honey's bitter poison, because honey is so not bitter. That's it's an interesting way of putting it. And then Van Gogh, I think that you were right, Dan, that he wasn't successful in his time. I mean, wasn't it him who cut off his ear?
Yeah, supposedly. I don't know the whole story, but I think that was him.
Okay, so I think he struggled with mental illness, and I could be totally off, but I think he might have committed suicide eventually.
I think you might be right.
Sure. I might have my artist mixed up, but it's one of those things with the tragic artist. And he did have, kind of unusual palette, darker than many. Although, he also had the sunflowers that were quite bright at one point. Again, if I'm not mixing up my artists, there's a Van Gogh exhibit in Vancouver right now, and I'm pretty sure there's like some really bright rooms where they make the whole floor and the walls and the ceiling project his paintings. It's really cool. But the idea of using a painter like this to set a tone is just really creative. So I'm glad that Stephen went there. And having that option of shining through the flaws, letting the darkness become something beautiful, like a stained glass window. There's something blocking that glass, but it ends up being like even cooler. Or you can sit and sulk about how it's not as bright as it could have been. And it's how you take things. I thought this was a wonderful poem.
Yeah, absolutely. I also, the honey's bitter poison was interesting too, because you're right, it's not bitter, but it's also not poison. In fact, it's the only food that really doesn't go bad. They've eaten honey that they found in the pyramids. It doesn't. You can kind of keep it forever. It's the point of it. Like if you're sick, you swallow a spoonful of honey and it can kill the germs. And I promise. I will not do crazy alliteration for you. I will take it easy on you, I promise.
I mean, I don't object to some alliteration. It's just, not where it's every single word force. It has to work.
I agree. I was playing with you.
I know. But I think you could pull it off. I mean, for a while, you were always doing things that had, what was the word?
Because you mentioned it once. It was I forget what the word was now too. I was just thinking about the other day. But yes, you said a word and then you said mischievous. You liked it, so yes, I was adding it to every poem just for you. Yes,
which was fun.
yes. And I forgot about it and stopped. But yes. No, I like doing kind of like sentences of alliteration. It's just fun to me. But yeah, a whole poem. I totally agree. So Aisha actually said she's here. She says she's here, really inspired because I give up easily sometimes. So excellent. We do try to inspire. And yeah, getting very inspired tonight. And hopefully I can inspire because now it's actually mine. I usually don't write for the con. In fact, this is the first time because I host, I'm on two shows that I've ever written for a show that I'm actually on. So I can't remember why I did it. I think, honestly, I might have been confused and thought this was your other show. And that's why I wrote for it.
I'm glad you wrote for it. Anyway. This is the thing. I love that you co-host with me. But before Dan became co-host, he used to enter all of my contests. and his poetry is amazing. And I've actually been really missing having you in the contest. So I don't think I can let you win. Like, I think I have to,
no, you can't,
like,
let me
purposely
win.
Not choose you. But at the same time, I'm so happy that you wrote to it. So please keep writing to all the contests.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I am banned from winning. Absolutely. That's you can't do that. If you work for the lottery, you can't win. All right, so I'll read this one. I'm up next, it looks like, and this is called Forgiveness. It was written to the second prompt, Arianna Huffington prompt. I'm not the man I was. At one point I was, in the pictures and the memories. That was me. Seems like a different life. Looking back is like reopening an old suicidal injury. There were good times that diluted the pain. I do know that. But in the end, it always turns to regret. I can't count the amount of times I've had misjudgment, bad decision, or done something that I regret to the point of a permanent scar. It's not because I can't count that high. It's because as I start to reliving those moments, it becomes too painful. On a scale of 1 to 10, after 50, a 50 after the first 50 regrets, and its power keeps growing with each thought, I start to feel like the past is chasing me, hunting me down, to attack and rip the happiness right out of me. It's only recently, when I took the time to really think, that I understood. It's not that I never knew what was right. I always did. I just justified the wrong. It's not that I didn't care. I always cared. I just justified the wrong. It's not that I didn't create excuses. There really aren't any. All of humanity has demons to fight. I just justified, well, you get the picture by now. I just realized what I am. I'm just like everybody else, and everybody else is just like me. I am my past, or at least that was me, but now I am who I am today. People can change. Many don't, but they can. And I'm really the only one that knows who I am today. End poem.
Excellent read and excellent poem.
Thank you.
This is on the darker side for you, and I enjoy it. It's like a vulnerable piece, I think, and I think there's a lot of power in vulnerability. The thinking about bad decisions and how that can be overwhelming, and how those regrets can feel like a permanent scar, I think is really relatable. I mean, even when our regrets are not necessarily huge things, like, you know, it's not like you murdered someone or something like that, as far as I know. But little things can certainly add up, and they can capture you. You know, I get into a spiral. I know myself, if I'm starting to think about one thing that I did wrong, then it just becomes like this thing of like self-loathing where I'm like, oh, I remember that other time that I did that thing. And you just kind of like go into the badness, and you talk about like 50 after the first 50 regrets, and it just snowballs, and all of those little things suddenly feel like this huge weight of am I a terrible person, but from all that I have heard from you and read from you and all of that, you are a wonderful person, Dan. So don't stress yourself too much about that, although I know I'm a hypocrite in saying that because, you know, it's, when you're talking about yourself, it's just different. But I really like when you point out that you realize that you're like everyone else and that everyone else is like you, and, you know, everyone has regrets. Really, if you don't have any regrets, you're probably a sociopath who, like, you know, doesn't see flaws in themselves whatsoever, and doesn't have a problem with accidentally hurting people, because everyone has at least accidentally, you know, hurt someone on a like emotional level at least. And people can change, and recognizing your own change can be the big deal. I mean, he was talking about archery, but my husband said something where he was like, I'm not competing against other people. I'm competing against myself. Partly because he's already the best, so it's like, who's he going to compete against? But now he wants to continue to grow, and I think that that applies as, like, growing as a person, too. You know, it's not about can I be better than that person? It's about can I be a better person than I was yesterday? Can I continue to be better than I was? If I look at myself 20 years ago, I mean, yes, I was prettier and more optimistic, but also made a lot of stupid things. And it was not the best. So, you know, we have to consider how we can grow. And I think you have, like, a really great attitude here. Strong poem.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And no, I have not killed anybody, but don't ever look in my basement. of course. No, and that's what I just started thinking about. You know, it gets hard sometimes when I look back and I think about mistakes I made. You know, you just everybody grows. You know, and I think everybody can kind of move on. I'm a different person than I was, you know, 20 years ago. I don't think I was a horrible person back then. You know, I think I've always tried to do well, but you make stupid mistakes and dumb things, and you know, and I just started thinking about it, and people justify, I think, whatever they're doing. You know, I always said, like, some guy walks in to rob a store with a gunpoint and threatens, like, a you know, the old lady behind the counter. There was a decision made there. There was something that said, this is something I should be doing right now. You know, somebody robbed somebody to go buy drugs. I need to do this. I'm making a decision to do this, even if it's wrong. You know, how many times, unfortunately, I mean, it's so tragic that you see these people going to do public shootings, right, mass shootings, and they kill themselves afterwards. So all I can think of is that they're justifying in their head, this is a good thing. I should go do this. And then after they do it, they're like, what did I just do? And it's so, you know, it's so traumatic, and they can't take it, and they kill themselves. You know, it's so when people do things wrong, they justify it. So whatever you've done in the past, most people, you had a reason. You talked yourself into it. You thought it was the right thing. But, you know, and the only thing you can really do is forgive yourself and try to move on no matter what you've ever done, right? So, yes, it was a little dark, but it meant to be positive to say that. Just you can change. People can change. You know, whatever you've done in the past, forget it. You know, move on with life. Go forward. That's all you can do. You can't change it. You just learn from it. So thank you for letting me read my poem on the air. That was a lot of fun. And let's move on again with life. What do we got next?
All right. This next one is called Go Ahead, and it's by Devasish Verma, India. Go ahead, my dear. Move on towards victory and glory. Write a story of your bravery. Do not imbibe any hesitation, any frustration. Infuse your mind with rejuvenation, zeal, and firm determination. Open up your mental shutter so that the fresh air can flow. Remember, you are a hero, no way less than Tom, Dick, or any fellow. Days will pass by and nights will cuddle you in dreams and will say goodbye. And amidst all work and artless play, you may find the meaning of life someday. But forget not to extend a vote of thanks to those who helped you on your way. End poem.
Oh, sorry, I was mutating there. Excellent, excellent read as always. And I just want to give a shout out to Debashi. I haven't seen him on here before, but he, on his site, he says he's published his first book, and it's available worldwide on Kindle and on Amazon, so everybody should go check it out. I love the concept of heroes. I think it's an interesting concept. And I love remembering you are a hero. You are a hero, no way less than anybody else. And, you know, I think about that a lot of the concept of a hero. You know, we know if you mention hero, you know, you think of, you know, the people rushing in the 911 or, you know, into the World Trade Center or a war hero or something like that. But there's so many other people that can be heroes in little ways, right? Is how many little heroes do you have of your friends or your family that you have? I always quote the band Rush on here, and there's a great song by Rush, a great poem. It's called Nobody's Hero, and they just kind of quote these people who have passed away, but they're personal heroes to the author. I always remember this story of this person walked up when I was working at Verizon, who I barely talked to. She's just somebody that you know, I was a manager and somebody that worked there. And she walked up and said, "Dan, you know, you said this thing to me the other day and it changed my life." And I barely remember saying it. And literally we were just talking about getting older. And I literally just said something like, "Yeah, getting older isn't for the wimpy," or something like that. Like just a throwaway thing I didn't even think of before. And for some reason it really struck to her and it changed her. Just this little stupid throwaway thing that I said. So you never know, you know, how you can change somebody and really affect them positively. And that wasn't really a hero act, right? It was just something I said, but it helped her through a tough time that she was having. And you know, everybody can be a hero, and you never know. You know, even just you walk by somebody and just give a friendly hello to some stranger, they could be, you know, they could be extremely depressed, and just that little act of kindness could help, right? So I harped on that one hero thing, but I always love that concept of a hero. And in general, beautiful, beautiful poem. What did you think of Asiana?
I also really like the idea of anyone being a hero, and that it's not all, you know, capes and stopping villains. It is those little acts of kindness that really matter. And amidst all work and artless play, you may find meaning of life someday. Artless play is interesting to me because I feel like most play has some kind of, you know, something meaningful in it. Play is underestimated. It's an interesting choice there. I really liked Knights Will Cuddle You in Dreams. There's something about personifying knights as cuddling you. There's like that coziness of night that really captures there. I loved that part. I tend to highlight things that I like, so I remember to talk about them later, and I highlighted that. That was my little highlight.
One of my favorite hero quotes is from, if you've ever seen the TV show, it's an older one, The Office, and the character in there, Dwight, he saved somebody, so he's talking to the camera and saying, you know, "I'm not a hero, you know, don't call me a hero." You know who's really a hero? Hero from Heroes, that's a hero. I don't know why I just like that quote. So I decided to throw that obscure reference out there towards Heroes. But we're going to keep on going here. So what do we have next?
We have one by Psyker. And it's slowly loading here. My internet is not loving me.
That's okay. That's the suspense. We got to have a little suspense in our show here.
Dun, dun, dun. That's from the
crew. That's right. That's right. I'm refreshing. I'm refreshing.
I'm refreshing too. Yeah. It's me who is not properly sending it. I can tell. AP has like changed its background. It's all black when it used to be white. And for some reason, my computer does not like this. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that. It was very strange. So, yes, it is by Psyker. So, that's my turn, and I will gladly read it. It's prompt number 2 he is going by the way. It's called The Path to Success. Failure, a word that stings, that we dread. The feeling of defeat, of falling ahead. But what if I told you it's not as it seems? That failure is not the opposite of success, but part of the dreams. For it's in the failures that we learn and we grow. It's in the setbacks that we come to know. The strength that we have, the courage we find. The resilience that keeps us with a powerful mind. Success is not just the triumphs we see. It's the journey we take. It's the lessons that we be. It's the failures we face with the spirit of grace that makes us who we are in this human race. So let us embrace the failures we meet. Let us rise up with a powerful beat. For in doing so, we become more. We become the success that we're meant to explore. End poem. Excellent, excellent work, Psyker. And Aphasiana, go for it.
I think that this had a really nice meter to it. You know, you could feel the cadence of it just flowing. It has just an uplifting feeling again. You know, it's rare with my contest that we have this upliftingness because I tend to pick really depressing quotes. But this time it was more positive and everyone's like giving me this like empowering feeling. And I'm like, I'm going to pick quotes like this a little bit more often because it's empowering to hear all of these positive points of view. I really like that ending. We become the success that we're meant to explore. That we become what we experience. We are successful because we explore that success, and we do that through going through the failures and learning in those setbacks. And setback is a word that a few people have chosen to use to replace the failure. And I think that's a really smart way of looking at it. So I'm happy that's been a reoccurring trend here. Also the word resilience, it's good to see that one. Some strong word choices, and this is very straightforward and just gets you in the spirit of the quote. I'm feeling the excitement of it, you know? It makes me want to look at things I haven't done well and keep trying and do them better. So thank you, Psyker, for that motivation. Dan,
yeah,
you read it for
us. I'm so excited. I'm so inspired.
Go ahead.
I
was just
going
to call on you to comment. So go for it.
Thank you. This is a really inspiring. You know, like I said earlier today, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm so inspired to do things. But I'm going to harp on the beginning here. So failure, that word that stings, we all dread it. And well, first of all, the rhyming was great. It was really good. It was beautiful. It was very, lyrical again, but it also reminded me a little bit of Dr. Seuss. So that's a big compliment, because it was just, the rhyming was fun and it was really well thought out and well spaced. So I thought that was really great. Not in the subject matter, just in the kind of the feel when I was reading it. And, failure is interesting. When I was growing up, I was reading earlier today about people's biggest fears, and the biggest fears right now, and I think this happens to, you know, whatever your political views are, the biggest fears from the last bunch of years is governmental things and environmental. We're all feared about that, but for the longest time, a lot of people's biggest fears was public speaking. And the way I always teach it, because I've done a lot of public speaking forever. I'm on Teams a lot. Where I'm Microsoft Teams, or I'm doing meetings and I'm speaking in front of people. Sometimes it's improv. Sometimes all of a sudden, Dan, can you jump in this meeting? And there's 20 people on there, and they're all high level executives, and I got to talk in front of them. And I've always I've learned how to kind of deal with that failure, and the one of the way I've done that is the old vaudeville thinking about it, is that as long as you don't harp on what you did wrong. Like if I stumble, now we're on a podcast, right? If I stumble my words, I don't stress about it. You just move on. It's when your failure, you're the one that's worried about the failure. Everybody else gets awkward and looks at you. Whereas if you just, if I'm standing up in front of a 1,000 people and I drop a pencil or something, you just pick it up and you don't care, or you make a dumb joke about it and everybody's with you and you move on. But that that fear of failing, of not being able to do it, of either being humiliated by it or feeling like you're a loser is an interesting thing, and I think everybody relates to it. So, and then, you know, he obviously went on to just say all the great ways to get by that. I think it's an important thing to realize that we're human and we're supposed to fail and we're supposed to move on. So awesome, awesome job. All right, let's keep on going. I'm motivated here. Let's keep rocking.
So that was the end of that contest, and now we're on to the one that was inspired by your picture. Can you talk a little bit about that image?
We can. I don't get to travel a lot, and I wish I did. I always wanted to, and I went to Colorado for a work trip. It's actually the farthest west I've ever been. It's the farthest from an ocean I've ever been in my life, and I never saw the Rockies before. And so while I was there, we were in just some little hotel in the middle of suburbia somewhere, but I walked over this little hill. I could actually see the Rockies, and I did it multiple times while I was there. I just stood on this hill and was looking. It was beautiful. It was just inspiring. I wish I could have went into them to see them. So I just took multiple pictures of them, and this is one of them. And I just wanted to see, you know, what people wrote to that picture. Most of my contests are pictures, and we had some really fun ones too. So hopefully, we'll keep ending on a good note and it'll be all positive. But I just wanted to see what people thought about that picture and the Rockies or mountains or nature, and that's it. So I think it's your turn, right?
Yes, I believe so. Rocky Mountain Haven by Kebab. This space is bliss in perfect postcard. Nature's nuance, such a lady of solar embrace. Rocky Mountain dances, my melting meadow in strands, in grass to weave eternal sensuality. Here rises haven for hawk and raven. Dirt roads walk in paw to paint, with mountain bucks and bear and elk, a vision where I dare not intrude or banish, as they were always here before me, serving the earth in changing season. I am just a temporary visitor, so lucky to breathe this wave of miracle, song's distant view through magic windows. Here, my words give birth to children, dancing where I dream of love, to give myself the sigh of season, one small wave running for the source, back to the source, as life returns, her circle to shine in revolution's way, safe to savor situation, even when clouds might burst in tear without a door to lock out fear. End poem.
Excellent read, as always. And this actually was the gold for my contest that we had a while back. One of the things that struck me about the Rockies when I was looking at them is that, you know, I'm in New England, so I've seen the White Mountains, which are very old mountains, very round, right? And these are newer. I believe it's still growing. And you see this layer of mountains, and behind them I'm seeing these majestic, bigger ones that are all white with snow. And behind that I can see bigger ones. So you kind of see this layers in it, and it goes, you know, Colorado, if you've been there, it's very flat. So you can see just from horizon to horizon this kind of just length of mountain. And it's very just awe-inspiring. I really thought that Khabib is a great poet. He writes a lot of poetry on here. And I loved his majestic take on this. You could just see him being awe-inspired by these things. And I don't know how you can't when you're in the midst of mountains. Excuse me. I like, here rises haven for hawk and raven, dirt road walks in paw to paint, with mountain bucks and bear and elk, a vision where I dare not intrude or banish. Oh, excuse me. As they were always here before me. And that is a lot of times what I get, and I appreciate what he got with that view of nature, that, you know, this is something bigger than me, it's beyond me, and you know, I shouldn't really intrude or banish things there. I should really kind of respect it and leave it there. Excuse me, coughing here. I'm just a temporary visitor, so lucky to breathe a wave of this miracle. So just the beauty that he had with this, I thought was really great. And I just thought he did an awesome job. There was so much beautiful imagery. I thought it really captured the feel of that type of, you know, majestic beauty that we have in this world. So you got to read it and did an excellent job of Faziana. What are your thoughts?
I wish more people had this kind of reverence and respect for nature where they don't try to banish the wild animals and don't interfere with them. We have big problems with tourists here because I live not far from the other side, that kind of the opposite end of those mountains. And, yeah, tourists tend to burn down the forest quite often around here. But the part that really struck me was dirt roads walk in paw to paint, which I know is something you pointed out too, but I just absolutely love that. And it makes me think about how, like, if an animal's walking on that dirt road and then it gets the dirt on its paws and then it's walking across, say, like, the snow, and you can see those dark prints now, and then if you have the snow on the feet, then it leaves that on the dirt, and it's just those beautiful paws, and you can watch how they have crossed the land. And it's just, I love that this captures the nature side of things.
Absolutely. You know, there's this, I live in kind of real, the cities, and I forgot, yeah, you're on that, the northern end of the Rockies, which are just, Rocky Mountains are huge, you know, they're very, very long range. So I live in the city, and there's this, by the Malden River, and there was kind of like a nature place that you can walk, and I walked there for a while, and there used to be coyotes running around there, and there'd be bunnies running around, and, you know, the coyotes are interesting. I wasn't worried about them, but it was, you know, interesting seeing them kind of run around, and they basically got rid of the coyotes. They ended up really cutting back some of the forest, and they made these little nature trails right along the water, and it's supposed to be a wildlife preserve, but they cut into it a lot and got rid of the coyotes. And I don't see the bunnies there anymore either. So it's just kind of funny that, you know, what you're saying, you know, we go in to, you know, tourists or people go in to try to, you know, be in nature, and they end up not respecting it and destroying it. And it is too bad. You know, so I hope everybody respects nature a little better, but let's keep going. Let's see what we have next. So who are we going to see now?
Next we have Teresa S.
And that's one from me.
Yes, it is.
I think. Excellent, excellent. And this one won the bronze in there. It's called My Name is Snowflake. Today my name is Snowflake, and I have fallen down. Fallen from the sky in all my beauty, and here I will remain, for my name is Snowflake. Today my name is Snowflake. Yes, here I will remain, for a moment in time, resting on your forehead, and as you raise your hand to wipe me away, your inner eye will open. For my name is Snowflake, and I am the opener of the inner eye, for my name is Snowflake. End poem. Faziana, what's your thoughts?
Great read. Well, first of all, it got silver, not bronze, in your contest. It won bronze in another contest too. Silver.
That's right. I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. So there you go. Yeah, so it won silver, and that was my silver, and then bronze in another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did a great read of this, and I really liked the part where it's resting on the forehead, and as you raise your hand to wipe me away, your inner eye will open. You know, sometimes when you're trying to brush away something, you can actually clear your vision and notice something else beyond what you could see before. Maybe you're trying to clear something out of your life, and you end up having a bigger impact. So for this to work with your image, I think it's kind of like, you know, you're getting a different perspective. You're in that new spot. There's these snowy mountains that caught your eye, and now you're seeing clearly that there is a world kind of beyond the bubble that you live in. I think this is an interesting response to that prompt.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was very original, and I really like the idea. You know, you're looking at these mountains, right, that are in Colorado. They're south of there, and they go all the way up to Canada where you are. And they're snow covered. You know, it was really, really pretty. I went in January, Colorado in January, right, figure. But we went there and we could see all the snow covered. And she, you know, the majesty and the beauty and the hugeness of it, and she concentrated on one snowflake, right? How much snow is in there? But my name is Snowflake. So I'm picturing kind of the one snowflake that comes on there that is part of that, right? And we forget just how much that's made up of there, and the one snowflake can open your eye. You know, one little thing, one little, you know, fallen snow, one little thing can start an avalanche, right, on the mountain. But it all starts with one snowflake, just like everything in the world starts with one idea. You know, can start the smallest thing, you know, the butterfly effect, right? So I thought it was really good and worked on a multitude of levels, and yes, won the silver. Therese Ray did not mean to belittle your silver, so, and another bronze. So excellent. And yes, the reason that there's all here, I very, very rarely open it up to pre-writes, but I totally forgot to check off the pre-write on this. So my contest was over in literally like 24 hours when I put it up there. It was over extremely quickly, but I appreciate the pre-writes. All of them that came on were great. Excellent. Let's keep going. What else we got?
All right, this next one I'm going to read is by Scraps and Scribbles, and it's called The Shoulders of the World. The shoulders of the world, waiting for the sun's coffin, those rows of black shadows, that menace of eternal air with endings, that cracked lips of earth, how they appeal to space for water, frozen gods still holding up the sky, as they were when the last prayer was uttered. Light hiders, sky biters, deep, deep roots, nourished by a magma core that grew them in its raged outpours and sprang them from its smoky maw. End poem.
Excellent, Faziana. Excellent. And this one won the bronze. It also won a bronze on another one as well, too. And a silver on an even another one. So great job, Scraps and Scribbles is an awesome poet. I thought this was great. The title was really good, too. You know, it's not really a title. It's the first line of the poem. But still, it's a great title, The Shoulders of the World. And it is a really interesting, you know, way to think about the mountains. Excuse me. Light hiders and sky biters. How fun is that description? So light hiders, because they really can, you know, the sun can hide behind. I don't really see those in suburban Boston here because it's, you know, there are lots of hills, but what hides the light is the trees and the buildings. But, you know, when I was there watching, and whenever I've been in the White Mountains, you know, watching the sun come up or down behind them is interesting. And sky biters is really interesting, because the mountains do really, really affect that. You know, Colorado, where I was really, really dry, to the point where I was telling people there, like, the only thing I felt like I did there was drink and pee, because I could not drink it. I literally could not drink enough water in Colorado. I would wake up. I've never seen this really in hotels before either. But they would put multiple bottles of water in my hotel, because probably for that reason we'd wake up ridiculously dry, and that's the mountains. You know, all that water coming off the Pacific Ocean is literally blocked by those Rocky Mountains. Those sky biters, I thought, was really good. And then the deep, you know, so they're way up in the sky, but then the deep, deep roots nourished by the magma core. So some great little scientific geography, environmental in here, but also great philosophy and just in beautifully poetic. Awesome job as always, Scraps and Scribbles. I always like her poetry. Faziana, your turn.
loved Frozen God still holding up the sky. It does seem like they're holding up the sky from certain angles. And in a lot of mythology and ancient religions, the gods were kind of ways to interpret the things about land that people couldn't understand. If they want to know what connects the land and the sky, it would seem the mountains are doing that. And if they were in a distance where you were never going to be able to travel to those mountains, I mean, maybe that was like Atlas holding up the world, you know? And so the shoulders of the world makes me think of Atlas from Greek mythology. And then it does have that science element, too, like you said, the magma core that grew them and raged its outpours and sprang them. I really like raged outpours. It really personifies the volcanic kind of aspect of the mountains. And some of these mountains, there's at least one around here, still technically are volcanoes. Been dormant for forever, yeah, the mountains have are sometimes more than they appear. I really liked cracked lips of earth. Also, the men that menace the eternal air with endings, and I like that idea of having the endings because, you know, in some places the sky is just endless. It seems like it goes on forever. If you're in the prairies, there is no end to the sky. But in mountainous places, it's like it gives you an perspective of where things seem to end. The edge of that valley, I actually felt so claustrophobic when I first moved out west. I lived in Salmon Arm briefly, and it's in the valley, and there's kind of mountains on all sides, not as big as the Rockies, but there's mountains in every direction. And we're standing on the pier at the lake and looking around in circles, and I was taking like a panoramic photo to show my parents who had never been there and wanted to show them the mountains. And then I realized, like, there are mountains on all sides, and I'm like, what if I need to get out? And I can't climb the mountain. And I realized that I had like this big panic attack looking around at the mountains, which were actually quite far away from me. But I was just like, oh, I'm surrounded by mountains. It adds that edge to the world. It feels like you're more closed in than you've been if you're not used to mountains. I love the way that Scraps and Scribbles brought that to life, waiting for the sun's coffin. The sun does kind of go down and seem to die earlier when there are those mountains. Sunsets are really cool, but still. All right, I'm off on a tangent, but it's a wonderful poem.
Yeah, one of the things that was interesting for me out there is, because we don't get it here, is the, like you were saying, you know, there's a lot of places it's open. And if you go to Colorado, you think of Colorado as the mountains, which it is, but where Denver is and east of Denver, it's flat. It's just plains. And that was really interesting to me. You can't see horizons here. You just can't do it. And being able to just literally see horizon, the earth itself, horizon to horizon, was the big sky was really, really interesting about that space. You know, I can look up and I can see it, but if I look to the, you know, if I look to the east, west, north, south, I'm seeing buildings and trees and things. That's just the way it is, you know, around here. So seeing that big space was very interesting. But yes, I'm sorry, off on tangents here. But I just thought that was really interesting about Colorado too. Let's keep going. So what are we doing now?
I posted one by All Red J for you to read.
Excellent. And I'm just hitting refresh it. Oh, there it is. All Red J, and this is called Road Trip to the Mountains. Drone of spinning wheels and fingers of the wind reach through the open window. Kinder than the screaming snow that morphs to clouds across the distant peaks, eagles surveying fearless soar against the turquoise sky, daubed with whipped cream clouds. In my ears from mountainside, I hear my freedom ring. and call. Faziana, go for it.
This feels like a little bit patriotic, I think. I hear my freedom ring. It sounds very American to me. there's also that freedom of the open road, which, you know, is an interesting concept with my feeling of seeing the mountains and feeling trapped. But there's also that kind of feeling of adventure when you see the road go up into the mountains. And sometimes, depending on how the landscape is, you can actually see, like, that line where there's no trees, and you can tell where you're going to be going up that mountain. It's really exciting to see. And the comparison, like, to the screaming snow, kinder than the snow. It feels like there's this personification of the feelings there. I like that it's the fingers of the wind. And then the eagles surveying, yes. And eagles are so much bigger than you realize. Like, they are huge when they're up close. This is really vibrant in its descriptions. Daubed with whipped cream clouds. That is a delicious way of describing it. And I could definitely see why they would use that choice there. In my ears from mountainside, I hear my freedom. Now, I do find it interesting that it's talking about kinder than the screaming snow, because let me tell you, up on those mountains, the snow is going to be the screamiest you've ever mm-hmm. But maybe if you've just come down from the mountains, you have gotten past the screamy part. this is a very vibrant piece. I enjoyed it.
But yeah, I think so too. And I really like the fact that it's dealing with going towards them and seeing them in the distance. So far I've been hearing about the mountains themselves, but seeing that and going towards it, and which can be exciting. I like the beginning and the end. So I like the drone of the spinning wheels, right? You've been driving around, but now the fingers in the wind through open window, and you're seeing those mountains, and then now you're morphs to the clouds across the different peaks, and you're seeing all these beautiful things getting there. And then he finally gets there, and in my ears from mountainside, I hear freedom ring. So you can almost feel like the echo, he's in the mountains out the valley and yelling. He can hear that, his voice kind of echoing through the mountainside. So I thought that was really beautiful, the way, even as a brevity, he kind of went from, you know, boring plains, whatever, to seeing these mountains and now in this kind of beautiful place. So excellent job, All Red Jay. And I think we have a new poem, and your turn to read.
Now this is, I would say, a micro brevity, a very short one. Your Highness by Hershow Duds. Mountain village morn, a sunny view, and outlook to a breathtaking dawn. And poem.
Excellent. And I really like the play on Your Highness, so, you know, calling it a, you know, royalty, but also Your Highness because it's high. So I can never get enough puns in my life, that's for sure. I'm just going to reread it again because how am I going to highlight it? It is a very small poem. Mountain village morn, a sunny view, an outlook to a breathtaking dawn. I like the little rhyming there, and she even says it's the ABBA rhyming, and it makes it really fun. I've spent many times in the White Mountains. If you ever get out to the East Coast, the Appalachians are great. They're some of the oldest mountains in the world, and the White Mountains are too. They're very old, and you can feel that. I've woken up many times in hotels or places there, and you come up, and it's it is something else to wake up in the mountains. You can really feel it. I know when I'm there, I can taste the difference in the air just being in the wilderness like that. But something about waking up to mountains, and maybe it's just different for me for somebody who lives near a city, so I don't get that. You know, if you, I don't know if you could see the mountains from where you are, Feziana, but it really is kind of a serene, it's a feeling I really can't describe. I've tried to describe it for the people, but you have to just kind of wake up in the morning and see that morning air and that morning mist over the mountains to kind of get that feeling. It's almost like a adventurous feeling, like you're in a, you're almost like you're in a Tolkien novel, you know, in Lord of the Rings type of a novel. So
it's so funny you said that, because I was just getting the song "The Misty Mountains" in my head, like from Tolkien inspired.
There you go.
You have to listen to the Misty Mountains song from the, I think it's from The Hobbit. Do it on the road as you go through the mountains. It's just perfect.
Okay, excellent. Next time I will do that. Cool. So we got 20 minutes left. We definitely have time for a few more poems. What do you want to do now?
Now we have one called The Summit. And oh, I guess it's your turn to read. I just did that little brevity, so you go ahead.
Yeah, I get to read a summons, and this one was an honorable mention for me, but it won a gold somewhere else and a couple of bronzes as well, too. So this is a multi-winner here from Asema, who we all love Asema. This is called The Summit. Mountains were made of different shades, their beauty revered in silent, majestic grace. Clouds float over its peak and linger softly like dreams. The higher you climb atop its summit, looking down upon the earth from afar, the nearer you are to heaven, so closer to the sky, where the spirit dwells in Aurora's colorful spectrum and celestial spheres, ready to receive words divine from up above the horizon line, a story told from ancient times. End poem.
Great.
Feziana, go for it.
This is beautiful, and I love that it talks about the different shades of the mountains, and, you know, especially when they're at different distances, but they're kind of overlapped in your view, they can be so beautifully colorful, like especially at sunrise and sunset. But here it's talking about Aurora Borealis, and I actually just missed it, but about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, amidst my crazy fevers, there was the perfect opportunity to see Aurora Borealis, and so many people were talking about the Northern Lights and how wonderful it was, and I saw lots of pictures of it, but it's not the same. And with the mountains and the lakes, it just was absolutely gorgeous. So I love that is captured here, even though it's not in your particular picture, the idea of how the mountains can kind of take on the colors of the sky and add that extra texture to it. And the clouds floating over its peaks linger softly like dreams. Like, that makes this poem linger softly in my mind. Like, it's just, it has such a beautiful serenity to the way that this is put together. And it just makes me think, there was this little boy the other day who was sad to discover that clouds are not, like, solid things that you can touch, but, like, really, it's vapors in the air, because he, I guess, had gone up a mountain, and was very excited to get to the point where there were clouds, and then, you know, it was just like a little bit of dew, like it's just water in the air and a little foggy, and he was like, did you know clouds are not like cotton candy? I was just like, I know, and he was just like, I touched it, but it wasn't real. It was just so sad. And so they are like dreams, because you see them, and yet we cannot grasp them. I really liked that it talks about a story from ancient times. Because when you're looking at that nature, I think it was said in one of our poems earlier, like the animals had been there long before and would be long after. And that's kind of what this is. It's recognizing that, you know, this landscape is from before us, and it's telling the ancient story. And mountains really are a story because it's about the way that the earth shifted. You can think about the tectonic plates, you can think about the icebergs, and how the ice moved and shifted and created these things. A lot of in the mountains, you can still find the, I'm thinking, it's the wrong word, not iceberg, but there's some kind of ice something where in the Rockies you can go look at it, and that everything is formed by those movements. So we are learning an ancient story. I really love that she included that in here along with all the colors. What did you think, Dan?
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you said. I like the ancient times as well. And I really like the reference to the summit looking down upon the earth from afar, the nearer you are to heaven, the closer to the sky. If the tallest mountain I've ever been on is Mount Washington, which I will admit I drove. I never got to climb it yet, but I've been up there a few times, and it's like, I don't know if you've ever been to the top of a really big mountain like that, but it's like, it really is like another world. And if it's really, really clear, you can actually see Boston from there, which is, Boston's like a 3-hour drive. But you can actually very faintly make it out. You're that high up. And it's very strange. You can almost see from that height. You know, if you've ever seen pictures from the top of Mount Everest, you can see the curvature of the earth. You can almost see it from Mount Washington. And it's just strange. You feel like you're in space, like you're leaving a little bit. There's a little bit of that there because there's so far you can see, and you're so up, and you're in the clouds. You're above the clouds. Like, you're standing above the clouds. And you know, again, sorry from Boston. Maybe you guys feel that all the time. But you know, if you're in the mountains, but it's just it really is just a unique kind of weird feeling to be that high up above everything. So I thought, I really enjoyed that part, and that was great. Cool. So now what are we going to do? We got about 10 minutes left, and so it looks like we got another one from Jenny.
Yes, we do, and I get to read this one. This is by Jenny Hunt, 2017. It's called An Alaskan Adventure. Tired and weary, ready for a new adventure, the ship carries me off on a scenic venture, an adventure full of new places and new faces, dancing and singing all the good graces. The ship docks, now landed. Oh, to be thrilled, not scared or stranded, fog covering the skies, the water rising over the hill, I see the train arriving. On our way, up the summit to look for gold. Stories never heard before, now being told. Memories in the making, won't forget. No bad feelings, nothing to regret. Rain and snow on glaciers and on land. Not even missing my toes in the sand. Glaciers galore, bright, blue, and crystal clean. Nothing like this I have ever seen. Oh, the new and exotic foods, so flavory, excitedly tasting each bite, sweet and savory. The company, another blessing, no drama, no fussing, no messing. Never will I forget the glorious sights, awaiting my next adventure eagerly. Next time I'll bring the family, but no fights, for Alaska is to be peaceful, not meagerly. End poem. Glaciers. Ooh. That is the word I was looking for before when I said iceberg. I meant glaciers.
Oh, okay. Glaciers. There you go. Yes. No, no icebergs in the mountains, but glaciers.
No.
So great. Awesome read. Thank you. And Jenny had written me after this and said, you know, hey, I know this isn't the Rocky Mountains, but this is what I was inspired by. And I really loved that because, I really love it when the inspiration takes you somewhere else. So I'm glad that she wrote towards that. That's happened to me before too. Where you look, you know, when I was my experience with mountains was mostly, I have been over to Europe and seen some mountains in Wales and different places, but most of my experience is in the White Mountains. I've been there many times. So that's how I relate to it. So when I saw the Rockies, I was thinking of you know, the White Mountains as well too. So that she related that, I thought was fantastic. And positivity. I think my poem so far tonight was probably the one that was the darkest. But everybody is so positive and so, having great experiences. And I really love how beautiful her experience here was. On our way up to the summit to look for gold, stories never heard before and now being told, memories in their making won't forget. Rain and snow on glaciers land, like you said about glaciers, not even missing my toes in the sand, right? You're so into what you're doing there that it's so much fun. You don't miss anything else, right? You don't miss that you're up high and it might be a little colder or not because you're having so much fun. So I like how positive it was and how this poem, you know, really brought back to memory this great adventure it sounds like she had. So beautiful job, Jenny. I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you for the poem. Baziana, what do you think?
I liked the part about the toes in the sand, too, because, you know, one of the things that gets really cold if you're not properly prepared is your toes. You know, frostbite on toes is, like, a big thing in if you're going on mountain adventures. But to be just so enthralled by the experience that, you know, you're not worried about how cold your toes are, just talks about the awe that she has for the nature. I like that she talks about the glaciers and how bright and blue and clean they are, because it's some of the purest water, those glaciers. I mean, they're not all perfect. I know marine biologists who study them, and, you know, we've gotten into those as well with our pollution. But the thing is that there's a pristine quality when you look at them that's just, it's calming. It, like, makes you feel like there's still parts of the earth that we have not disturbed. I think that this has kind of a reverence to that. And then the excitement about the different foods. So in Alaska, I imagine that it's largely it's like fresh meat and different kinds of meat than she would be used to, and fish probably. But I mean, even in the Rockies, like there's, what's it called? The Grizzly House was this restaurant I was obsessed with. I think it was in Jasper, where they have like samples of all different kinds of exotic meats. Like you eat like bear and I'm trying to think of things that are weird. Elk and rattlesnake and, I don't know, it was all, like, game. And you just have, like, these little tiny little samples of all the different kinds of meat. And you get, like, a T-shirt and stuff that shows that, like, you were brave enough to eat the variety of meat. It's like, I tried everything at the Grizzly House. And it's just, there's something of, like, food is one of those things that helps us remember you know, that sense of taste and engaging all of your senses so that she had certain food in this experience with the mountains helps solidify that memory. So I like that she brought that up because I will never forget the Grizzly House flavor. The wanting to include her family, you know, bring more people, show off this thing, but no fights. Like, you know, like, let's not ruin this experience by having any kind of conflict. We just want to, like, embrace the peacefulness of the place. I like this. It is really positive, and like you said, it's been a really uplifting night of poetry, which is just wonderful, because I usually do pick depressing topics, and while I do love a good depressing poem, this is a nice switch. You know, I think I needed this week, And I'm really appreciating the attitude that people are taking towards the prompts.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was inspired. I thought everything was great. So, ladies' choice, we have 6 minutes left. Do we want to try to squeeze one in, or do we want to get everybody to bed a little early tonight? What do you think?
I think we can do this one more because it's the last one in the contest.
Let's do it then.
Squeeze it in. Your turn.
And it's my turn. Excellent. Oh, by Laughing Wolf. Excellent, excellent. Called 5:30 a.m. The full moon, a pupil of a cougar cyclops, stalking along cliffs. Portable generators whine, crackles of white noise evaporating on air. Sober tones, sans melody, discuss addenda to conservative agendas or the implicit charms of antique armories. As desktop microphones covers sponge up the caffeine percolating in nearby coffee pots. I hear the vocal footfalls of undergrounds afar evaporating on air, crackles of white noise, portable generators whine, the last echoes of night rolling off the mountains into a rising sun. End poem. All right, Aphasiana, go for it.
I liked this. It engaged different senses, you know, with the noise crackling. It has the nostalgia kind of feeling of the antique armoires, which I tend to associate with Narnia. And, you know, in Narnia, they step into a world of mountains. So that just fits here for me. There's the smell of the caffeine percolating. There's the sounds, again, of the footfalls. And the moon, I really liked that it's a pupil of a cougar cyclops. Like, that is such a creative way of describing it. Very fun.
I agree, absolutely. And I what I really liked about it was, and again, it reminds me, you know, my reference is a lot of the White Mountains. The other thing I remember is kind of being in there and having the mountains all around and the life that happened. What I loved about it was not talking necessarily about the mountains, but just about life there and how everybody lives and the feel that you have. And I thought it captured it really beautifully. You know, like you said, the full moon, a pupil of cougar cyclops stalking along cliffs is a very interesting way to describe it. And then the rest of it is about just life around there and that feel that you get. And it's again, just like everywhere in the world, right? You know, when you live along the ocean, when you live in cities or in plains, you know, when you live in the mountains, when you're there, that life, it's a different feel. And I thought it was just really captured beautifully by Laughing Wolf, that feel of you know, mountain village life. All right, cool. What a great timing we had for coming back. We got two full contests in, and we have 2 minutes left, perfect to just wrap it up, Aphasiana. If you want to wrap us up, we are perfect timing here.
Yeah, you're right. The timing was just perfect. I'm really happy that it worked out that way. I'm a little behind in my judging, so thank you for your patience to those of you who have been entering my contests. And we will soon be doing more contests, of course, so you can be on our future shows. Every second Thursday, we're here with Double Helix. In half an hour, stay tuned, because we have Pam and Rex doing their show. And tomorrow night, I will be back. After Fill My Eyes does her open poetry, I will be here with Babbler for Part Sinner, Part Saint. And we are all out of time, so thank you very much, Dan, for your excellent contest and for your wonderful comments. And thank you to everyone who wrote. And thank you to Fill My Eyes for giving us this time on her station. Good night, everyone. Enjoy your poetry this week.
That is Aphasiana. Thank you. Have a great evening. Take care.